On the other wall was the Gospel of Luke in words, minute words, all coupled together, forming a picture, reading right through, so that if you got a magnifying glass or got up close and had good eyes, you could read the Gospel of Luke, and yet it formed a picture. That means some of the words were darkened and some of them were lightened. Some of them had much greater depth because of darkness than others, but it formed a picture. And then the Gospel of John was back there in that corner. And every one of them was a different picture of Jesus Christ. They were formed by a minute printing of the Gospel of Matthew first, and you had a bust picture, shoulders up, of Jesus face on, formed by the words of the Gospel of Matthew. And you could read the entire Gospel there in that picture. Then you move to the next one. There's the Gospel of Mark, another picture of Jesus from a different vantage point of his face, and yet it's pictured by the words of the Gospel of Mark. Here was Luke and here was John. And I lingered there. And I knew that author knew something that I knew about the Word of God. That it's God's intention when a person reads this book that out of the words comes the Word. And if a person does not come to see that this book is not just a teaching mechanism, it is a territory where a person meets God. And all of the Old Testament is the background to the painting so that the main person can walk right into the middle of it in the appointed time and show himself with everything pointing in advance to his coming right up to the appearance of that main person. And Paul said, advancing through an historical sequence, God got the minds of men ready for the coming of Christ. And I wish I had time to go into that. He got men's minds ready for the coming of Christ all through the Old Testament. Every portion of it has an intention of pointing men to Jesus Christ. Then Paul said, God advocated this gospel in advance through human spokesmen. Now, this is where many people get hung up. I don't know how many people have said to me why the Bible was written just by men. The Bible was written just by people like you and me. And I've had people then to append their own conclusion that you cannot trust it because it was written by people like us. Well, friends, if it was written by a man like me in my current condition, you could not trust it. These men were like me. But they were not in my current condition. And I want you to hear me carefully at this point. You see, I may know an anointing of the Spirit of God this morning, but I cannot know the degree of inspiration God gave to these men. Now listen carefully. According to the Word of God, the Bible was breathed out through these men so that they were temporarily inspired men. But you better not put any weight there. You'll put too much credit on the men. So that these writings were totally and perfectly inspired of God. So that inspiration, and I'm going to tell you more now than many of you will ever realize, let alone appreciate. Inspiration did not terminate in the person who wrote these things down. Inspiration terminated in the writings themselves. So that, say the book of Amos in the Old Testament. Every word of that he wrote was breathed through him by the Spirit of God as perfectly as if he were not there, and yet in honoring his personality and a perfect inspiration of him so that it passed through him and terminated on what he wrote. That's the way the Bible is inspired. Now, Amos could have sat down 5 minutes after he wrote his book and written a letter to somebody that had no inspiration in it whatsoever. Because the man was not the inspired person. It is the writing that is inspired of God. The writing was inspired through the man, and he was inspired only as long as the writing was there in the making through him. Let me give you scripture for that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It plainly says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. That means no man's will originated the Word of God. But holy men of God, separated men of God, sanctified men of God, spake as they were carried along, as they were moved, the King James Version says, by the Holy Spirit of God. I want to appeal to somebody else for an illustration. And this fascinated me deeply because I was there where this took place, and some of you have been there. Some of you were with me. In Athens, Greece, up on the Acropolis, at the Parthenon, where we stood and we heard our guide tell about, you remember the Battle of Salamis, where we sifted through her accented words, and then I asked her if I could speak a few moments, because all she knew was the history, the Greek and Persian history, the naval the navies that met there, the Grecian Navy and the Persian Navy. And in that tremendous historical battle, it was settled for centuries that the Orient would not control the West. That's the reason we have the culture and civilization we have today, one historical reason. And that was ordained of God. If you don't believe that, read the book of Esther. That forms the background to the entire book of Esther. You see, the king was mourning over the loss of his fleet and what had happened way off in that far-flung corner of the world when all the book of Esther started to get underway. But we stood on that place, and if you look out toward Corinth and the Acro-Corinth, the big jutting natural fortress across there, oh, maybe 40 miles to Corinth, there's a bay in between known as the Bay of Salamis, and there's where the Battle of Salamis took place, where the Persian fleet encountered the Greek fleet. Do you know the primary way the Greek fleet won that battle? They designed an ingenious little military tactic. They made some light ships, light boats, heavily fortified but very light. They made a tremendous cutting edge, a blade on the front end of those ships. And whenever they got in the battle, they maneuvered in and out of the Persian ships with rapidity, very quickly. And here's what they'd do. They'd sail up immediately toward them or behind them, directly toward them. Then they would alter their course and go right down the side of the ship. And those ships were run by oars, by slave labor, down in the galleys of the ships. And that sharp point would sever those oars away from the side of the ship. And then they would turn quickly around as this big ship was trying to move. They'd go down the other side and sever those oars. And that ship was made completely non-maneuverable. By that tactic, it was absolutely at the mercy of the currents that carried it, absolutely at the mercy of the winds that beat on it. And the one who told this story, he said he was reading this when he stood on the Acropolis and looked out to the Bay of Salamis. He said, all of a sudden a bell rang in my heart, and I heard the Spirit of God speak to me. He said, I knew I had heard that word somewhere that I was reading there. And I went back to my New Testament and I found it in a couple of places, and one of them was this verse I read to you a moment ago. Holy men of God spoke as they were picked up and carried along by the Spirit of God. They almost had no control on themselves at all, and yet God respected their personalities. As far as the inspiration, they totally, absolutely lost control, so that only God spoke, even though He did respect their personalities. And when the writing was over, it was absolutely perfect because it was inspired that way by God. Now, it's interesting to note, like that ship, once all of its maneuverability was severed away, the wind blew on it and carried it any way the wind blew. That's the very term that is used for the inspiration of the Scriptures. Holy men of God spake as they were carried along by the holy breath of God, the holy wind of God, the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And He breathed upon them and right through them. And the product of it was the writings that come out in the terms and the form of our Bible. And all of this was anticipated in advance and advocated through human spokesmen by His prophets, who became the channels of the transmission of God's divine gospel before it ever happened in history through the coming of Jesus. Now, the third thing Paul says about it here is that it was anticipated in the Holy Scriptures. I've already reflected on this. Listen to what he says. God promised it in advance by His prophets in the holy writings, the Holy Scriptures. That means that God designed the entire Old Testament to be a kind of funnel through which all the truths of Jesus would pour down on a person when he read that Old Testament. So the first thing he says about this gospel is that it proceeds from a divine source through an historical course in preparation for the coming of Christ. Now the second thing he says about it is that this gospel presents a dynamic Savior. Verses 3 and 4. Now I do not have time to tell you what those verses say. I want to spend some time on that when we get there. Let me just give you a few ideas, a few germ truths.